When you look at the landscape of America and you look at what all you and I have been blessed with over the last number of years, there is no denying the fact that you and I live in the most blessed land in all the universe, in all the world. We're the envy of so many, many individuals. We're the envy of hundreds and thousands and millions. Many would do anything they could to come to this precious land that you and I call the United States of America. You know, if you have a change of clothes in the eyes of a lot of folks in other countries, you are very wealthy. If you have a pair of shoes, you're extremely blessed. If you have one meal and you can sit down just to one good meal a day, you're better off than many of the world's population. If you have a roof over your head, many of us have roofs. We not only have one car, but we've got more than one car. The fact is, you can look throughout our land and you can look all across this world and all across the United States, and there is no denying that we are the most blessed land in all the world. But with that blessing comes the reality that God has expectations for your life and my life. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, God was speaking to the nation of Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses is preaching to them, and he'll soon be leaving them, and he'll soon be walking home to be with the Lord. And as Moses is preaching to them, before they get ready to enter into the promised land, he gives to the people of Israel some of the do's and don'ts for the rest of their life. He makes it very clear what they need to do as a nation. And what God said to Moses back then applies to us as well, because there is no doubt that God has blessed the United States of America. God blessed the nation of Israel, but there are some things that God did not want that nation to forget. And there are some things that God does not want you and me to forget as we live in the most blessed land in all the world. Many of you have had opportunity to go to other lands and other countries and go to travel abroad, and you can see whenever you get back to this land how blessed we are. But in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, I want you to turn there, because what do you and I need to remember when God blesses a nation? You know, we've been through world wars. We've been through World War I, World War II, Revolutionary War, so many wars. We've been through the Persian Gulf, and now we face wars and terrorism and Afghanistan and all around the world. But God makes it very clear that He has some expectations whenever He blesses a land. It's sobering and very important that you and I listen to His expectations, because somehow there is a tendency when you have been blessed to assume the blessings are going to keep on coming. But if you'll listen to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 20, Moses is speaking the word of God to the children of Israel. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I set thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open upon thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain to thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But then look in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of the sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doing, whereby thou hast forsaken me. When you look at Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 20, Moses gives them this message, and Moses will give this message to them one time, and it will be etched for their lives forever. Moses wanted them to be very confident of the fact that it was God who had blessed them. But he wanted to make them mindful of this fact, that if they would do certain things, that the God who founded them, who established them, would not forget them. You know, it was a number of years ago, back in 1492, Columbus came to this country. 1600s was the founding of Jamestown, and on we can go in the history. And you and I know that this land has been blessed. We're a land of plenty. We're the envy of the worlds. But the God who established this land does not want us to forget some very basic principles that are etched in this passage of Scripture. For us, and not only for us, but for all of our children, their children's children for time to come. Because whenever God blesses a nation, it's very easy to forget. It's easy to forget that, after all, there's the God who created us and blessed us, and surely he's going to continue to bless us, isn't he? Well, follow along with me, if you would, in your outline, because you and I need to understand some very sobering truths out of this passage. First and foremost, the Bible makes it clear that God loves to bless a land when there is a people that revere and obey him. If you look in this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy, there's one thing that's abundantly clear. God made a covenant with the people of Israel. He made it very clear, if you will obey me, do what I say, then here are some things you can live to expect as a lifestyle, but here's the reality first. You must live to obey me. There is something that you and I need to go back to as the people of God. We need to be mindful of that all the blessings of holy God come as a byproduct of a people that is willing to obey him and follow in his ways. God made it very clear. Those that were blessed because, first of all, God loved them. You know, God blessed them because, first of all, God wanted to bless them. God wanted to bless them because he created them and he birthed them as a nation. While we're not Israel, there is something mysteriously marvelous about the founding of this country. If you read any of the transcripts of Christopher Columbus and sailing and all of the things that he encountered, it is very intriguing to read some of his transcripts because they're archived in history. How he made it very clear that there was no way that he could get to where he was except the hand of holy God was upon him. And I have read his transcript, and the mentioning of holy God and the omnipotence of God and the hand of God, he mentions over and over and over and over again. There is something about this land that this land is what she is because of Jehovah God. We are what we are because Almighty God has blessed us, and we're not who we are because of something else. We are who we are because Jehovah God, the living, eternal God, has established us. We must not, we better not ever forget that. The Bible said to the children of Israel, God made it clear through Moses that all these blessings would continue. God loves to bless a land. God has the power to bless. Listen, we don't serve a God who is weak in blessing and weak in power. The Bible makes it very clear that we serve the self eternal one. All power comes from him. And whenever God spoke to the children of Israel, he made it very clear that the blessings would come and continue if they would not forget. There is something about our nature we forget. If you look at the archives of our land, and our forefathers sought a great deal the leadership of God. If you read some of the biographies, I don't know if you know this or not, but it was shared, and 18 of the signers of Declaration of Independence were seminary graduates. Did you know that? They were graduates of seminary. They were men who thought and revered the name of God. God loves to bless a people. God has that power to do it. And God wants to bless, and he loves to bless America. We know he's blessed, and he's continually blessing us. When the children of Israel were listening to Moses, Moses made it very clear that all the blessings of God, and he said how they'll come. You'll find that God will bless you, but you better never forget him. Some years ago, in a documentary, John F. Kennedy was getting ready to do a speech, although he did not get to do the speech. He was assassinated before he got to do the speech. But in the documentary, it was disclosed that in the last speech that he was to give, there were a number of quotations in that last speech he was to give that came directly from the Bible. If you'll ever listen to Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, you'll notice that some of the wording that he uses comes right out of the very Word of God. Whenever you hear the word fourscore, those are words right out of Scripture. Listen, what is true for that generation in Israel's day, what is true at the very founding of our land and our country as a nation, is true today. When we choose to forget God, when there is a land that forgets the living, eternal, almighty God, Moses said, and it's the documents of the Word of God, that God will make it his business to curse that land. There is the curse of cursings that come. And God wants his people to be aware that when they're blessed, it is from him. Listen, we did not do it. You don't have the blessings you have in your life because you have done something. They come from Almighty God. Second of all, you and I need to understand this. When God blesses a nation, he will bless them in visible ways. And what he does, he blesses them in visible ways so they can praise him. Now, let me ask you a question. Some of you, you've experienced the blessings of God over your life, and you look back and you think, you don't realize how all of it's come about, but you look back at your children and they're successful and God's blessed you in that way. You look at where God has placed you and you have a nice home, you have someplace good to live, and you have a good job, and you have... Have you ever stopped to go back and just look at and ponder and think seriously, everything that I have is a gift from God? You know, we hear a lot of complaining in our land, but the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God above. What Moses said to the children of Israel is something you and I need to rehear. Listen, when you've been blessed, stop and remember who your blesser is. When God blesses our land, you know what we a lot of times do? Listen to us sometimes. Listen to us grumble and complain. Listen to us murmur. Have you ever thought about this? Where would you like to live other than America? Where would you like to live other than where you live right now? I've had the opportunity, many of you have, to travel abroad, and one place that I traveled, I never even saw a lawnmower over. I never even saw a lawn. I didn't hardly even see grass growing. And the gardens, they were very sparse. And as I was coming back, I thought, God, you have so blessed us. I mean, it's unfathomable, the blessings of God. And as I was thinking about what we have and what that land does not have, I thought, I just asked the question, God, why? And just this verse of Scripture, the Spirit of God just... Blessed is the nation. Say it with me. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Listen, we need to understand when you have been blessed, when God has blessed our land, we need to sing and we need to say it loudly, God, thank you for blessing America. Not just ask for more blessings, but Father, thank you for blessing our land. Thank you for what you've done in this land. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that you've given to us, because we are what we are. We are who we are. We are where we are because of the goodness of Holy God. And yet oftentimes there is so much grumbling and complaining. Listen, we're not a land where a majority of people are Christians. But you know what? Your Christian witness weighs very heavily in this land. Do you realize that the power of one Christian witness all throughout Scripture? So whenever God blesses a land, one of the things he wants them to remember, that he'll do it in visible ways. That shouldn't shock us. Some of you look at your life and you think, God, why do I have what I have? Because you reverence him. Don't ever be ashamed of the blessings of God. Listen, God blesses a person and a people who makes a big deal of Holy God. Do you make a big deal of your relationship with Holy God? Do you make a big deal that you serve the living, eternal, almighty God? There is nobody but him. He is the only one to worship. He's not a polygod. There's not a bunch of him. He is the one self-existent, eternal, almighty Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of all the Old Testament patriarchs. There is something powerful about that life. It says, as for me and my house, it doesn't matter what happens in this land, we're going to serve the living God. Whenever that happens, whenever God blesses a nation, he wants them to see that all the blessings are directly from him. God told the nation of Israel through Moses that he would be the one bringing the blessings. He would be the one doing it. He said, I want to tell you this. If you walk in my ways, he said, here's some things you can expect. And it's exciting as you read it. Because first of all, he says, I'm going to make you successful. Now listen to me very carefully. There is nothing biblically wrong about being a success. Some people, you know, they say, well, this person's a success and he must have got it by hook and crook. Do you realize that Abraham was one of the most blessed men in all the Old Testament? Why? Because he walked in the ways of God. You know what happens? People who are successful biblically, you know what? They're men and they're women of integrity. And God made it very clear, I'll be the one that blesses you. Why? Because he loves to bless. Whenever God blesses a land, one of the things he wants them to do, listen, he wants them to acknowledge that he's the blesser. It is sickening where we have come to in our day and time. You know what you hear a lot about, and I'm like what I heard one fellow said, I'm not a politician, and if I had a political hair in my head, I knew I would pull it. But listen, somehow in the scheme of things, you hear people saying, this is because of what I've done and what I've done. We have nothing but comes from Holy God. He said, watch your children. You walk in my ways and your children are going to be blessed. You walk in my ways and I'll give you not only income, I'll give you an abundant income. You say, well, why does God want to do that? Here's why. He wants you to know that he loves it when any man or woman takes serious obedience. Somehow in the world you and I live in, this nation, there's this idea that you can do whatever you want, however you want, and there's no price to be paid. But that man or that woman who makes a big deal of walking with God, God honors their life. And he says, I'll not only bless you in a successful way, but there'll be plenty. I'll make you successful in your daily work. Listen, God takes the space in verses 3 through verse 14 to say all the blessings that I'll bring upon your land. But Moses said, don't you forget, you can't deviate from the ways of God. Now listen to me very carefully. What I'm going to say in just a few minutes, what's getting scary is this. There's verse 15. God told the children of Israel, said, all these blessings will come, and I'll overshadow you with my blessings. But he also reminds them that they're going to pay a price if they walk away from him. You know, when God blesses a nation, he wants that nation to hold him high. I've had the opportunity to walk in Williamsburg, Virginia, and there's something very interesting about walking down that road. Down that road where Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, and many of the earlier patriots lived. And one who was playing the role of Thomas Jefferson was sharing, and he was very much a student of Thomas Jefferson. And he was very avid patriot. And even as he shared, I listened to some of the evidences of Scripture come through some of his conversations. It talked about his church attendance. Talked about how significant that was to his life as a leader in this land. Listen, when God blesses a nation, he wants them to lift his name high. One thing that's growing very sickening to the heart of God, we're a nation, but we want to extract his name everywhere. Now listen to me very carefully. You may not be in a political situation, but that's not material. Listen, you're a child of holy God if you're a believer. God made it very clear that he loves for his people to praise him. As a matter of fact, the word praise is mentioned 248 times in the Old Testament. Literally, God loves, he inhabits the praises of his people. Let me ask you this, though, when it comes to your life. When was the last time you thanked God for living in America? When was the last time you thanked God for your job? When was the last time you thanked God for what income you had? When was the last time you thanked God that you could go to the hospital when you could, the freedoms you had? You see, everything that we have comes from Holy God. When God blesses a nation, he wants that nation to lift his name high. God told Moses that when the blessings come, don't you dare forget to exalt Holy God. There is something silently missing in this land, and it's strangely missing. And here's what's missing. You don't hear the people of God trumpeting the praises of God. You don't hear those who are blessed by God trumpeting loudly the praises of God. I'm not talking about unbelievers, but he told the children of Israel, you see, let me just ask you, do you talk about God? Outside these walls, to your neighbors, to people you work with, is it very evident to them, they know that you're a child of God because, you know, you talk about this and you talk about, but you make it very known that everything you've got is a blessing from Holy God. Well, and sometimes we sort of say in the back, well, I am grateful. Sometimes we're grateful in a very silent way. God made it very clear through Moses, they were to trumpet the praises of God. Do you know what that means? In Deuteronomy, in another passage, he says, you're to write on the doorpost in your home about God. You're to make it very clear who you are as the people of God. Do people around you know that you belong to the living God? Do people that you come into contact with know that you accredit everything that you have? Do you dedicate what your possessions to God? You say, now, wait a minute, we don't need to get too fanatical about this. You know the sad reality about it is? Christians have stopped being bold in their walk with a holy God. We've stopped thanking God. We've stopped saying, Father, this is my vehicle. You take it and you use it. This is my home. However you want to use it. You've given me this, and it's for your glory, and it's for your name, and whatever you want to do with it, that's your business. Listen, God made it very clear to the nation of Israel. But you know what they would eventually find out? They would eventually find out in the passing of time, verse 15 would come to be a living reality. They would find a time when their land would be cursed. They would find a time, listen to me very carefully, that their best artisans and their best craftsmen and all of that would be taken away from the land, and they would go live in another land because they stopped revering and worshiping and adoring and magnifying the name of the Lord God. And they were taken to a place called Babylon. And the city was left in ruins in a period of time. Why? Because of one simple thing. One simple thing. They forgot. When you forget your holy God And you, it's not a big deal to you anymore. And look at our land. Our land is in a mess. It's not in a mess accidentally. It's not in a mess just by chance because we live. But you look at some of the messes we're in, and we're just a government of peoples. We're sort of like the book of Judges. The people did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't think about God. Well, number five, whenever God blesses a nation, he wants that nation to be continually blessed through obedience. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know what, if God blesses me today, when do the blessings of God stop? Let me tell you this, and this is what's exciting. The blessings of God never stop. Listen to what I'm going to say last. They never stop to the obedient child of God. They never stop. You say, well, why? Because of the last part, obedience. There is something powerful about the life of obedience. You've heard me say that more times. But there is something so significant. Listen, Samuel said this, the Lord God cherishes obedience rather than he does sacrifice. Whenever you and I obey the living God, listen, God's blessed America for better than 200 years. He's brought our forefathers to this country, and you and I have what we have because many of our forefathers were serious about their walk. I had opportunity while in Williamsburg, Virginia. I did not purchase it. I wish I had. It was a code and customs that was written by George Washington. And one of the things that it told you how to conduct yourself publicly. You'd be interested to know what some of those things were. It said, first of all, whenever you're in a public place, men never cross their legs. I thought, I'd be in trouble. I mean etiquette. I mean seriousness. Because there was that sense of self-respect. Listen, what God told the children of Israel, what God told through Moses, he says to our day and time, God does want to continually bless, but he will not bless a land that's rebellious and ungodly and wicked. You see, here's what happened among the children of Israel. They became so rebellious, they didn't think they needed God anymore. Sound similar? There's something interesting that takes place in verse 15. I want you to look back there. He says, you don't serve any gods, you don't turn aside from any word which I command thee. And then in verse 15, but, one sobering word, but, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now I want you to listen very carefully. When God blesses a nation, he wants that nation to understand past blessings never, never promise future blessings. We are a land that is blessed. There is no doubt about that. But just because we've received the past blessings of God, that does not secure us for future blessings. God told the people that he created, the children of Israel, said, I want you to understand, I established you as a nation. I founded you as a nation. I gave you birth miraculously as a nation, but if you decide to defy me and to walk away from me, I will curse your cursings. In other words, I will send a curse upon everything that you do and put your hand to, and there will be no success in anything. There will be absolute failure in everything you do and put your hand to. Read Deuteronomy 15 through the rest of the chapter, and you will get a good understanding of why there's a lot of difficulty in our land. God will said, I'll send you sickness. Listen, are we in a time of sickness? You better believe. Listen, go to any medical center, go to any medical facility, and they're building and they're adding and they're, why? Because we're a sick land. God said, when you decide you don't want to walk in the ways of God, you don't want to serve him, don't want to walk in his ways, then I'll make it my business to send upon your land cursings. Why? Because that nation that is blessed by God is also that nation that can be cursed by the living God. We're a foolish people if we do not live and believe and think that somehow the sovereign God who established us and founded us, he can curse us just the same. He's serious about our walk with him. He's serious about your walk with him. Sometimes we say, well, I don't know what's wrong with the nation. You're part of the nation. You make up the nation. I make up the nation. What are you doing to help the nation? There are so many people that are sponging off the nation. They're extracting every financial penny they can get because they've got something. And that may not be some have legitimate realities, and that's true. But God made it very clear that I'll make it my business. You and I don't understand what it is to be cursed by God. We don't have any idea what it is. Listen. But God said to the children of Israel, I give you a warning. You forget me. You abandon me. You go the way of abandonment. And you'll find the cursings of a holy God. You see, God said, I'll blot everything. You won't have enough money for anything. You won't have enough food to eat. He said, it'll even get to a day that you'll eat your own children. Horrible, isn't it? But listen to me very carefully. It doesn't matter what anyone says or what political figures say or whatever. God is serious about his people worshiping him. And whenever your worship of a living God can be frayed by someone in office, God watches very seriously. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that he's the blesser. In our land, you know as well as I do, there's a strong undercurrent to take the name of God out of so many things. To take it off of out of schools, and you've heard much of that, and we all have. But listen very carefully. It's not taken out unless people are willing to. You decide how bold you stand for the living God. You decide how strong you stand as a person, as a man or a woman before God. God made it very clear. The same God that brings curses through disobedience was the same one that brought blessings with obedience. You know, these children of Israel, they would forget. They would forget, and in time, God would blight them. Look at the landscape of our land. You go back 30, 40, 50 years. From 50 years ago to right now, amazingly different. From where we are now to 50 years, where will we be? I can tell you this reality that you see. I've seen it and it scares me. I've seen some churches, they've decided that they're not going to meet on Sunday night anymore because people won't show up. I've seen some churches said that we're not going to do this or that anymore. People aren't interested. Listen to me very carefully. God is still holy. Amen? God still means what he says and says what he means. And Moses would preach this message. They would never hear this same message from Moses again because they were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan and God was going to take Moses on. But I guarantee you they never forgot it. There is something deep inside the heart of us that we know. This land's not gone the way it's gone because of anything politically. It's rebellion to the word of the living God. But you can be like that Old Testament patriarch. You can say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Until Jesus comes, I'm going to serve the living God. And when somebody comes to you and asks you, why is it that you do so well in your business? Don't you dare hedge. Say, because God's blessed me. I know that, but what else? Say, God's blessed me. Listen. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? If there's anybody that ought to be saying so in this day and time, it ought to be the redeemed. You know why? When you're serious about your walk with God, you cause other people to think. There's enough plastic people out there. That is, people that aren't a bit interested and they're living a plastic game and nobody wants their what they want. Is your walk with God like that? Plastic? You don't have a walk with God. Oh, you come to church, but your walk with God is nil. He wants you to have a walk with Him. He loves you with all of His heart. And He'll do immeasurably more than what you can think if you'll turn to Him. You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says God loves you, gave everything He had in Jesus for you. Just for you. And He wants you to be saved. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we come to You. And we thank You so, so very much for this blessed land. Lord, there are so many critics. But every good and perfect gift that comes to this land comes from the Lord God above. And Father, we thank You. We praise You. And we worship You. And Father, I pray that in this invitation, You would have Your will and Your way. Draw that person to You that needs to come to Jesus Christ, that needs to rededicate their life, or that needs to join this fellowship, is our prayer. In Jesus we pray. Amen.